This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Frankie in the Morning. How is New York doing these days? It's kind of tough in New York. Everyone's leaving. Did you know that? All the stores are closing. It's very depressing. New York, our biggest city. And the place everybody thinks of, you know, all the excitement. Well, there is excitement because everybody's backing up their U-Hauls.
That's why I played that. I was thinking New York's never going to be the same, I don't think. Not for a long time.
Very sad.
And
I mean,
with the holidays coming up, what's going to happen with that?
I know. And what are they going to do when the Macy's Christmas Day Parade, when they go marching down there, and even Macy's is closed? That would be sad, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. We're open for business. The Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, Big Ed, and my partner. We thank you for joining us. We're back in the studio, by the way. Our last show over at the Republican Club. The Pinellas County North Republican Club. We were over there on US 19 in Palm Harbor. Really had a good time too. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Yaron Brook of the Ayn Rand Institute. We're going to talk about how it is time to reopen US schools, as well as everything else, according to Yaron. So stay tuned for that. And President Trump, he helps broker peace between Israel and the United Arab Republic, or Emirates, and crickets from some of the mainstream media, as if it never happened. We're going to talk about that. Also, Joe Biden's mask mandate with the proprietor of our barber pole, the one and only Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that as well. And we bring back Campus Quackery and Wilbur the Duck a little later. Tales from Yale and Wright State University, so stay tuned for it. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 highest paid actors so far in 2020. Let's see if Ed knows who is number one. I think he might. Oh, he's nodding his head. He peaked. No, he didn't peak. He just knows it. Okay, we'll see how much he knows. I got a kick out of... it was really something. I wonder if Trump, of all people, might be in line for the Nobel Peace Prize, because Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday addressed a historic deal between his country and the United Arab Emirates. He called it the greatest advancement towards peace between Israel and the Arab world in the last 26 years. That's pretty good. Now, the deal was brokered largely by Trump and is expected to lead to a full normalization of diplomatic relations between the two Middle Eastern nations. Now, under the deal, which Trump announced, Israel agrees to suspend applying sovereignty to areas in the West Bank that it was thinking about annexing. That's pretty big. The deal eventually leads to Israel and the UAE signing bilateral agreements on investment, technology, security, and tourism, as well as setting up embassies and allowing direct flights between the countries. Now, if all of this works out, it'll make the United Arab Emirates the third nation to establish diplomatic ties with Israel. Egypt is one of the others, and Jordan. So that's a pretty big deal. Now, MSNBC and CNN offered very little coverage last night about this. as Trump announced the brokering. And no mention of it on the All In with Chris Hayes program. Interestingly enough, if you ever tune in, that program on MSNBC. The Rachel Maddow Show and The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, those are on MSNBC. Nothing there. The 11th Hour with Brian Williams did report on it. On CNN, Anderson Cooper, who served as a presidential debate moderator in the 2016 elections, completely avoided the subject. Why? Why? Didn't they have time on the show? CNN Tonight with actor, Don Lemon. Do you ever watch him? Ed, do you watch Don Lemon?
If I don't have a tooth or root canal to go to. And by the way, I thought it was Richard Maddow. Oh, it is Rachel? I thought it was Richard.
I know where you're going with that one, buddy.
But
Don Lemon, who is really, I tell you what, he is the smarmiest guy I have ever watched. You want to wash your hands after watching him. There's something about that guy. Mm. I don't know what it is. He comes across as so sanctimonious, you want to vomit. You know how those, some people you just know right away are phonies, just by the way they're acting.
He had a rough childhood and everybody in school took his lunch money, probably.
Probably. Anyway, he has 2 full hours every weeknight. He spent roughly 2 minutes on it. And he used that 2 minutes to mock Trump on the whole thing. So there you go. And they're supposed to be, remember when CNN would present news? It's been a long time since they present news. All they present are views.
Yeah, I don't think
it should be CNN views. Not CNN News.
It should be Communist News Network.
Yeah, it used to be called the Clinton News Network. Remember that?
It changed after 9/11, I think. 9/11 was the last time they reported news.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's been a long time. People forget Ted Turner started all of that. He's still alive, isn't he? Yeah, he's still alive.
We'll have to check on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still alive. It's a huge event. We'll see how much coverage it gets. Do you remember when Barack Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize just for showing up at the White House? I mean, what had he done? And he got the prize. Now, are they going to consider Donald Trump over there in Stockholm, from?
I've already heard some of them already saying, well, he got that done because Obama got the ball rolling on that.
Yeah.
Do you know how bad...
Biden said that. Said that.
Do you know how bad Obama, strained the relationship between the U.S. and Israel in the time he was in office?
You could tell that he and Netanyahu did not get along, not at all. There was really, you could just see the icicles forming whenever those two were in the same room. No question about it. Okay, we're going to change topics when we come back. Aaron Brooke from the great Ayn Rand Institute will be here. We're going to talk about whether or not to reopen America's schools.
Oh, what a night. Late December back in 63. What a very special time for me. As I remember what a night.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have Garen Brook join us. He is chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute. We're going to talk a little bit with Garen about whether or not we should be reopening America's schools. Boy, there's been a lot of talk about that, Garen, back and forth. I watched the teachers union president Randy Weingarten the other day kind of defend public schools not reopening, but a lot of parents, and I think the ball's rolling towards reopening because a lot of parents are looking for the schools to reopen. So you're talking about a little bit. You're saying America is failing its children by not doing so. Tell us why you feel that way.
Well, first, I think that these kind of decisions should be made on a school-by-school basis and by parents and school administrators. Ideally, you know, we would live in a world in which there were no government schools and all schools were private, which is the American way. And private schools, like any private business, would make a decision about whether to open, when to open, under what conditions to open. The idea of a one-size-fits-all, the idea that the government, the federal or state level, should decide whether a business, any kind of business, including a school, should open or should not, is statist and authoritarian and completely inappropriate. You know, a school opening in the middle of a city is very different than a school opening in a rural community. You could have two different schools with two different conditions completely in terms of the status of COVID. These are decisions should be made by businesses, by schools. These are decisions should be made by parents about whether to send their kids to school or not. How, to what extent do the parent feel that they're at risk? You know, because maybe they have pre-existing conditions or things that make them vulnerable to COVID. And to what extent is the fact that the kids are at home preventing the parent from earning a living? And therefore, that's a much bigger risk than COVID because they can't actually make a living. So these are all decisions that need to be made by individuals, not by state authorities.
Right, right. There's a Harvard professor. I think that adds one more reason why they should consider reopening the schools to the equation. He says a year off from school for some of these kids can mean that their earnings can actually be lower by like 10%. Now, how he figures that out, I have no idea.
He's a Harvard professor.
That's it. If you're a Harvard professor,
really,
whatever.
He's really, really smart.
There you go. Whatever you say goes, mister.
Exactly.
But there's some truth, I think, in that. You know, you get a year off.
There's no question.
And also psychologically, I'd like you to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, kids at particular ages are, you know, certain content they need to absorb, and if they don't, they fall behind. And they fall behind not just relative to other kids who might be going to school, but they fall behind in terms of what their mind actually needs in order to develop properly and develop efficiently. Now, if all parents could efficiently homeschool their kids, that would actually maybe be an advantage, because I'm not sure the public educational system, the government schools, are providing the best possible education for our kids. But the fact is that most parents are either not interested or not capable of teaching their own kids. I think it's really important for the intellectual development, but it's really crucial for the kids. Not, I mean, they're stuck at home. they're not engaged, they're not using their mind. This could really retard their ability to develop properly, cognitively, and to master the skills they need in order to be successful as adults.
Yeah. We're talking with Garen Brooke. He is the chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute. Ayn Rand, oh, what a wonderful person she was. If she were around today, Garen, what would she say about opening up businesses and schools, do you think?
Well, hard for me to say. You know, I don't want to speak for her because she was a genius and she always said things that were interesting and unexpected. But I think that the reality is that the government should not be in a position to tell people they can't go to work or they can't open a business. Now, as individuals, we need to make those decisions for ourselves. The government also should be in a position to write $3.7 trillion checks to, actors within the economy. $3.7 trillion we don't have. $3.7 trillion that we're mortgaging our futures on. So she would be critical of everything the government is doing from beginning to end. And add to that the fact that the one thing that government should be doing, the one responsibility of government is to protect individual rights. That is the responsibility of government. And in a pandemic, that means to test, to trace, and to isolate those who have the infection. Not isolate all of us, but isolate those who are infected because they pose a risk to their fellow Americans. And we have failed from February on. We have failed on a historical scale to do something, you know, simple. Test, trace, isolate. And we're still, it's already middle August, we're still not doing it. We're testing, but it's useless because it takes 9-10 days to get the test result. We're not tracing. We haven't built the infrastructure to trace people. And the isolation is, maybe, sometimes.
Well,
so the one thing government is supposed to do, it's not doing. Instead, it's playing central planner in terms of intervening in the economy, choosing winners and losers, intervening in our lives. It's shutting down businesses. It's telling us how to live. It's telling us what to wear, where to wear it, you know, whether it's mandating masks, outdoors, which is just bizarre and anti-scientific. The government is doing all the things it shouldn't do, and the one thing it's supposed to do, it can't get laid.
So you say that the government does have the right to mandate isolation of people that have this virus?
Absolutely. I mean, if you constitute a risk to your fellow man, then the government has a role in isolating you. I mean, this first of all, is a successful strategy. It's what the South Koreans, the Taiwanese, they did in Hong Kong and Singapore, and it worked. They don't have a problem anymore. And secondly, it's appropriate. The government is there to protect rights. It shouldn't be isolating, shouldn't be telling us to stay at home when we're healthy. But if we're sick and we're potentially contagious to a deadly disease, at least to some people, then it's appropriate for the government to isolate those who are sick. Now, add to that we've done nothing to isolate the truly vulnerable. If from the beginning we had said, look, if you're 65 years or older, this disease is really risky for you, self-isolate yourself. And we'll provide we'll provide you the mechanisms and assistance to isolate yourself. But the rest of you, all you rest of you healthy and young, live your lives. And don't worry too much about this. Yes, there's a risk, but the risk is small.
Right.
If they had done that from the beginning, death rates would be tens of thousands less than they are right now, and our economy would have never crushed the way it was.
It would be hard.
We have failed at the federal level and at the state level. Failed completely.
It would be hard to enforce it, though, right? I mean, how can a government enforce everybody that's got it to isolate themselves? We don't have the manpower to really do it, but you can issue it, I guess, and hope that everybody follows.
Well, you can tell people you expect them to isolate. You can fine them if their court's not isolating. I mean, there's simple things that you can do, and we're not. And again, if our leadership were adults, and we don't have adult leadership in this country, if our leaders were adults, they would have sat down with the American people, explained the situation to them, explained why they were asking people who actually had the virus to stay home for 2 weeks until they were free of the virus. They would explain why if you're 65 and over, it's best if you self-isolate and don't go out and don't interact with other people who might carry the virus. they would have done it in an adult, scientific, you know, forthright way, in a way that I think the American people would respond to. Instead, we've turned this virus into political football. We've turned it into an unscientific, you know, it's just absurd what is going on with COVID right now. There's no adult leadership on this issue at all.
We're talking with Aaron Brook. He's the chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute. By the way, Aaron, I guess President Trump held a press conference earlier in the week the other day with Betsy DeVos. They're pushing to open up the schools. Betsy DeVos, in fact, I think her family is associated with some of those DeVos institutes that have been around for quite some time. She seems to be a proponent of private schools, et cetera. Do you think that they were doing the right thing by promoting and taking a stance on whether or not to reopen schools?
I mean, I think this is, again, I think they could take a stance, but at the end of the day, this is a local issue. We have a federal government. We have schools have always been dealt with at the local level, not even at the state level, but at school board level. I think at the end of the day, parents and schools need to make those decisions. I think the schools should all be open up. I don't think the government should mandate closing them. But it's a real problem when the schools are not private. It's not private decision-making, making those decision-makers making those choices. But so, I think it's right to come out and say, that kids don't get this virus in a bad way. You know, they don't seem to transmit it quite as badly as adults do. Kids don't die from this. It's very, very, it's not that it doesn't happen, but it's safer for kids than the flu. Mm-hmm. And we don't shut down schools of the flu. Now, I understand teachers, if a teacher's obese or if a teacher is over 65, I can understand them not wanting to go to the school, not wanting to be exposed themselves. Okay, on a case-by-case basis, you have to deal with it. But the fact is that for the kids, this is not a safety issue. For the kids, this is just as safe as being open during flu season.
Sure.
Or safer, actually.
There's an interesting... I mean, you could designate teachers as essential workers.
Yeah, but that whole designation, I think, is corrupt.
Yeah, of course it is.
Why is the government deciding who is an essential worker? I mean, I think it's really disturbing.
Right.
That we become like China, where the central government, where the federal government or the state government decide who's essential and who's not. My livelihood is not essential to me. I want to go and work. You're going to tell me that I'm not essential?
Right.
Well, if I own a small business, you're going to tell me my business is not essential to my customers?
Of course.
Who are you? So these are the kind of things the government should not get involved in at all.
Yeah, and I was going to make that point because we designate certain businesses, as an example, food stores, grocery stores, right? So they stay open, right? People go in, and I'm thinking, okay, now people are pouring in and putting their hands all over the products. And all of the workers in those places, you know, the vast number of people that come through those doors, somehow they're doing okay. They're figuring out how to do it.
Yep.
But we can't allow schools to come up with a plan to do it. I mean, to me, what I meant by essential workers. Yeah.
The challenge with schools is that you've got a bunch of kids who don't follow instructions, right? They're not going to keep their hands out of their mouths. They're not going to wear masks. They're not going to do any of these things because they're kids. I mean, when I was a kid, I wouldn't have followed anybody's orders, right? So it is a challenge. It's a different challenge, but it's a challenge that needs to be dealt with, and it's a challenge that I think we can come up with solutions to. Again, on a case-by-case basis, we can find this. You know, Sweden never shut down its schools for ninth grade and below, so the young kids continue to go to school throughout March and April and May, throughout the whole thing. And while, you know, Sweden has about the same death rate as the United States does in terms of per capita of the population, the kids were safe. The kids were fine. So if our worries are kids, then opening the schools is not a problem. I can understand parents and I can understand teachers being worried, but then you take precautions and you find ways to deal with it, but you don't penalize those parents and those teachers who don't have a problem with the schools opening or want the schools to open.
Very good point, Yaron. A real delight to talk with you. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, pleasure.
I'd like to have you back on some other subjects because that Ayn Rand Institute, near and dear to my heart. Thank you so very much.
Good. Thank you.
All right, Yaron Brook, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the proprietor of the barber pole will be with us. We're going to talk about this, I don't know, where were the media when Trump announced the peace brokerage between Israel and the United Arab Emirates? And what about Joe Biden's mask mandate, both inside and outside? We'll talk about it.
It's over, it's 4 o'clock and we're in trouble deep. Wake up, please, Susie.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. By the way, we are here at the great Tantalk Radio Network every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But if you can't hear us live, please go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed has all of our programs there on podcast. Very simple. Click on the podcast. You'll see the most recent programs first, including our great program that he engineered when we went over to the North Pinellas Republican Club. He did a great job there as well. Well, we're delighted to have our buddy Andrew the Master Barber with us. And Andrew, Joe Biden has come out now telling everybody, and I know you'll love it, they should be wearing a mask both inside and out. And if he was president, he would mandate it. What do you think?
I think we ought to put him and Kamala Harris in body bags and get rid of them. They don't have to worry about wearing masks.
That's a full bodied mask there.
Right. That's what he needs. These people are buffoons, Paul. And you know what? He couldn't have picked a better choice for vice president.
Really?
But I still don't think the game is over. I mean, Kamala Harris is the most hated woman. I can't say Kamala. Kamala. I don't want to be called racist. You got to pronounce it right, like Tucker Carlson.
Is it Kamala or Kamala?
Who cares? Either or.
Okay.
Tomatoes, tomatoes, right?
That's right.
Same person, same thing, same moron.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, this woman, the blacks don't even like her. She's a Jindian to begin with. She's not an African-American.
Jindian? Did you just call her a Jindian?
She's a Jindian, half Jamaican and half Indian.
Oh, okay.
A Jindian, right?
She's actually Haitian, so she would be a Hindian.
Indian, whatever, yeah. Okay.
She's got a Haitian father. Seriously, she has a Haitian father, and she has an Indian mother.
Okay, so then she's a Hindian.
That's what I said.
She's okay. A Hindian, but yeah. I could tell you that African-Americans didn't like the Hindian, okay? Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think the Democrats actually wanted her as the pick, but the people voted. They voted for Biden. They couldn't bump things around. So they put her in place, and I still don't think this is over with.
because you see Hillary Clinton is volunteering for the Biden staff. Okay?
So you
think I'm saying before the November election, Biden's going to be out. Now, I don't know if Kamala Harris being the vice president can take over the slot that Biden's got and move Hillary in as VP, which would be suicide for Kamala. But I think you're going to see something go on there, Paul. The Democrats aren't done playing games.
Yeah.
Well, you see where Biden and her aren't even answering questions at a press conference.
No, you're right. And, you know,
okay.
I was going to say that there are some other people I've been listening and watching that infer that maybe Biden will not end up being the president or the choice, even though he's, you know, got the nomination at this point. So a lot can happen. I mean, there's no rule that says he has to be.
I think you're going to see Hillary Clinton be at that convention in her Eureka vacuum cleaner bag, and she's going to be there, I'm telling you.
What are you talking about, the vacuum cleaner? You mean the thing?
Did you ever see the clothes she wears? It looks like the Eureka vacuum cleaner bags. Remember Eureka vacuum cleaner?
Yes.
With those cloth bags on them?
Yeah.
That's what her apparel looks like.
So we could call her Miss Eureka from time to time, I suppose.
There you go. Every time she wins, you can say Eureka.
Okay.
Whatever.
So there's
still some plans going on, Paul. And I can't see how the Democrats stand a chance with the platform. They don't even have a platform.
Now, Biden gets out there with Kamala, if I might call her that, and they start talking about the mask mandate. They won't take any questions, though. They will not take any questions. Biden wants to talk about kind of nationalizing a mandate that you got to wear it even outside. Don't you think he should take a couple of questions from the press?
Paul, he can't take any questions from the press because the only answer you're going to get from him is you know what I'm saying? No answer for this guy. Listen, they're playing games. I'm telling you, I'm seeing a red landslide, Paul.
Now, if I was on the Biden team because of his problem answering or talking or, you know, putting more than two sentences together, do you remember a movie called Singing in the Rain? You might not. Anyway.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Gene Kelly.
The girl behind the curtain would sing for the girl that couldn't talk very well.
That's right.
So what we do is we got this curtain behind Biden's podium, and we get some guy that can, you know, sound like him a little bit. And if he just opens his mouth, moves his lips, maybe they can get away with it.
You know what, Paul?
What?
They should call Biden's team the 20 Mule Team. They need another jackass. Okay?
Well, no, they need a good ventriloquist. That's what they need.
There's more to it than what's going to go on. You know it and I know it. This party's not over with yet.
You know, it's very interesting because I really do believe that Biden, if he gets up on a debate stage and is made to, you know, answer any kind of questions long-winded, he starts to, you can see it, you start feeling, worrying about him. He starts kind of stuttering and blinking his eyes. You never notice that? It's like he's going.
Come on, man. I can't answer that question.
It's like a machine shutting down slowly.
Well, you know, he uses the word malarkey a lot, and I think that's what he talks, a lot of malarkey.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Kamala Harris and her likability, and you actually touched on something that I think there's some truth to. She was not that well-liked among a lot of people in California.
That's right.
She's got sort of an irritating personality. She's got a little bit of a Clintonian personality, if I might borrow Hillary's personality. Don't you think?
Paul, I think she's a nutcase. She's power hungry, a nutcase. Listen, she wants to. It's okay to bring Islam into the country, into the schools with her. It's okay to kill a 9-month-old baby ready for birth. We're at birth. Where's this woman going? Wearing masks. Other people don't want to hear this. We're going to take your guns away. Come on, Paul. They are not going nowhere.
I think you got two people with no foundation. If you notice, they have changed their views, and you talk about people that twist and turn like a weather vane with their views.
Well,
I think these two are perfect examples. They'll change on a dime if they need to get a vote.
Oh, look at the stuff that Biden says that duplicates what Trump says he's going to do. I mean, I've heard him duplicate what Trump says many a times. The guy doesn't know where he's going, Paul. He belongs in an Alzheimer's home.
Yeah.
He really does. And these people are doing nothing but abusing a sick man. And they're going to use him for the benefit, believe me.
This is senior cruelty, maybe, to some extent. Now that I think about it.
It would be if we did it to one of our older parents, right? But as long as the Democrats do it, it's okay. Paul,
yes,
what about the media with this little five-year-old boy that was shot by the 26-year-old black man, point blank in the head?
How come we don't hear nothing about that,
exactly.
Paul? No, this is a perfect example. A perfect example of the bias. There was another one. Do you remember another one that was in a shopping mall and it was...
Yep. He threw him off the fifth floor or something.
He picked the little boy up and threw him over the balcony down onto the floor. Now, fortunately, the little tyke survived. But that was a black man doing that to a white kid. Now, we're not in any way... I don't want to get this into a racial thing. It's just that there is such a hypocrisy when it comes to coverage.
It's what Trump says about the media, Paul. They're no good. They're the people's enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 100% right. It's like you said, they don't report the news. They report their views.
Yeah.
You're very right on that. And it's time that this... You got to put a stop to this stuff. What if we sit here and promote phony news and everything else to people?
Yeah.
What would happen to us?
Yeah. Well, we would be taken out behind the barn and slapped around.
Where's the FCC today?
The FCC? they've been dormant for a long time, haven't they? I think they threw up their hands and said, you know what? We're not going to do anything.
No. And
maybe that's not a bad thing, actually. I don't mind the government staying away. I really don't. Let me...
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was going to go to another topic. You go ahead, finish your thought.
What I was going to say is, if you want to see Trump's popularity, I want you to watch tomorrow for the boat parade that they're going to have. And I understand that Eric Trump is going to be on the lead boat.
Oh.
I'm hearing rumors about it. Yeah, it's supposed to be quite a thing. They're going to have World War I biplanes, paratroopers coming in at the start of this. And let's see how popular Trump is. I want to see a Biden and Camilla boat parade and see what the people think about that. But
how popular
Trump is tomorrow.
Well, they would be in submarines, wouldn't they, those two? Now that I think about it. Okay.
What they should be is in cement shoes.
So I want to go to another topic here. You know, this ongoing probe of what the FBI did and what the White House under Obama did when Trump was running for president and trying to get the dirt on him. Okay. According to Attorney General Barr, there will be a development today involving U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation into the origins of all of that, you know, the Russia probe. He said it would not be earth-shattering, but would be an indication that things are moving along at the proper pace. Do you think they're going to finally bring out the Durham report before the November election, or are they?
I think they have to, Paul. Mm-hmm. I think they need to bring it out by September. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's see what dirtbags these people really are. Let's see how they tried to abuse their power, and let's put them where they belong, in jail. If that was anybody else, I mean, listen, if it wasn't going on, Trump's been briefed of what's been happening. Trump wouldn't be talking the way he's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as he's talking... Excuse me, there's going to be some indictments here. There's going to be stuff going down. He comes right out and says, they spied on me. They got the proof.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump would talk like that if it wasn't going to go down.
I noticed a Fox News poll that's actually coming down. It's only a 7-point lead. I think it's 49-42%.
Yeah, we don't even got to worry about that.
I'm not worried about it either. But
did you see their poll last night that 75% of the American people are for wearing masks and 21% say they don't want to wear them? I don't know where the hell they got that poll from.
You know,
everybody I talk to, they want to hear that song, Take This Mask and Shove It.
Well, there's a lot of people probably that are used to wearing masks indoors. This nonsense, though, about wandering outside with a mask on, I'm wondering about that one. I think, you know, I can understand most people saying, well, I'll put a mask on indoors in a commercial building. I hear that one. I can buy it.
What about the one-way aisles in Publix? Does that make you laugh or what?
Well, what I do is I walk backwards when I'm going the wrong way, and people just if you do it that way, they don't understand. Just keep backing up.
What about the slow-moving person and you go to pass them up?
I know.
What is wrong with you? Are these people that stupid.
I know. But at least it's the private sector making the rules. I don't want the government doing
and you
it.
And you see the people sitting there getting mad at you when you're walking the wrong way.
Oh, yes. Or if you just, by accident, if the top part of your mask descends below your nostrils.
Oh, my God.
Have you noticed that there are
That's
some
a felony.
People, they
That's
will
a
take offense.
Felony.
Some people will take offense at that and come up to you and say, do you mind putting your mask completely on, please? It's happened in these stores. I'm not kidding about it.
You know, with everybody wearing masks now, you don't have to worry about passing gas down the grocery aisle.
Well, here we go again with that one. You and the gas issue.
I get a kick out of it. I can't help it.
Well, I want to end our little conversation, Andrew, by saying it was a pleasure being with you on Tuesday over at the Republican Club in North Pinellas. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people that we interviewed.
It was great, Paul. The camaraderie there was good. We got a lot of people. We got a lot of attention. And I think you're going to see this going on right through the election, Paul. What do you think about Nancy Pelosi trying to hold Trump hostage with the $1,200 stimulus? Either we get mail-in ballots or nobody gets a stimulus.
I know.
Can I tell her, keep the stimulus.
I agree. And I think it's making the Democrats look bad. When Trump came out, I thought it was rather a master stroke saying, look, I'm going to do an executive order. I mean, even if it doesn't get passed, he's come out saying he wants the money out there. So, it makes the Democrats look bad when they're dawdling like that.
Let me ask you one question.
Yep.
How much more bad can they look? How much more bad can the Democrat Party look? They look disgusting now.
I think
How
it's
much
pretty
worse
tough.
Can they get? The only thing that can make it worse is when Hillary steps in. And she's going to.
Well.
You mark my words.
I just want to see Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden up on stage kind of holding hands and doing one of those kick dances. I'd like to see which one of them drops first. Now, they're all pretty old. But
what I want to see is Hillary and Camilla together. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Would that be a good cat fight or what?
Oh, yes. She's a little heavy. Hillary's a little heavier. Once she gets on top, I don't know that Camilla can deal with it. We better get
away. It's going to get good. Get your popcorn ready.
We will. Thank you very much, Andrew. We will talk with you next week, my friend.
You got it, my friend. You take care.
All right. Andrew the Master Barber. Wow. Always an energetic, excited guy. Always enjoy talking with him. Going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to bring back Wilbur the Duck and a little campus quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. And it is time to dust off our buddy Wilbur the Duck. I don't like to say dust off. Makes it sound like the poor duck is deceased. But we allow him to free flow around the, you know, around the building. But we've got two stories, Ed. One has to do with Yale University, and the other one is Wright State University. At Yale, there he is. He sounds as good as ever. Yale University illegally discriminates against Asians and white people during their admission process. That according to the Department of Justice. The DOJ informed Yale in a letter from its Civil Rights Division that it reached the conclusion after a two-year investigation, which was triggered by a complaint from the Asian American groups. Now, Yale apparently has been discriminating like that for decades, according to the Department of Justice, and it appears the university, quote, intends to continue discriminating on the basis of race, apparently in perpetuity. So they went after them. So we will see where that one goes. And second one we have is from Wright State University. Good old Wright State, an economics professor there, which, by the way, it's in Dayton, Ohio. He says the school has repeatedly denied his request to teach an elective class that is critical of Marxism. They won't allow him to teach something critical of Marxism at the university. Karl Marx, the guy that everybody looks to as the patriarch of socialism and communism and even fascism to some extent. Well, here's what the guy, he's Professor Evan Osborne, said. Clearly, it's all just censorship. I have proposed several electives. All have been approved. Not going against the sacred beliefs with a radical wing of our department. He says only honor students will be allowed to take his class. As if the other people can't understand it. Despite his request that if he opened it up to everybody, it would work. He says the honors class only deal sharply limits who can take it. The biggest damage is being done to students in business and in the College of Economics. Both of them are not honor students, and they deserve to hear about this. So there you go. Can't... Oh, my God. Wilbur!
Well, you brought him out during hunting season.
Wilbur! Speak to me, Wilbur! He's been plugged. Thanks a lot, Ed. What are you, hungry for a duck dinner? What's going on here? That's funny. All right. My goodness. Well, we'll revive Wilbur for the next time we do campus quackery. He's too important. Ed got a big kick out. He was laughing before he did it. Gee. Remind me not to be in the same room with you if there's a gun handy. Good Lord. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, just for that, get over on the drums, because we're going to do our, we've got a good one this time, and I want to see if Ed knows who the highest paid actor is for 2020 so far. He thinks he does. You know, he's real confident of it. All right, this is, Ed, this is from Forbes magazine. Now, you did not look at this, right? Okay, that's good. This is from Forbes magazine, and of course, we're only, 8 months through 2020, so we got four more months to go. But I'm thinking they're not doing that much, are they, because of the virus? Are these actors doing much work, really, right now?
No, in fact, you know, when it, was it September, October, when all the false new shows come out, they're all going to be delayed because a lot of people are not taped or got started late taping.
Yeah.
You know?
And how do they do it anyway? I mean, can they get these people together in one room?
Well, one of the shows, The Good Doctor, who is about a doctoring show, that they're actually going, the first couple of episodes are going to be about the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we go. These are Forbes magazine's top 10 highest paid actors in 2020. Number 10, Jackie Chan. You know, the kung fu guy?
Mm-hmm.
He made some pretty good movies. Very innovative, I always thought. $40 million is what he's worth, or made. Okay, number 9, Adam Sandler, he made a movie recently that I saw from Redbox, and it was really good. He played like a New York gambling kind of guy, and he really pulled it off well. It was not a comedy.
He directs a lot, too.
Yeah. He's worth $41 million, or earned. Number eight, Will Smith. He's been around for a while. Will Smith, African-American actor. He earned $44.5 million. Pretty good. Number seven. Now, Ed, I want to know if you know this person. I do not. Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No.
Well, whoever Lin-Manuel Miranda is, he or she earned $45.5 million.
Well, good for him or her.
Yeah, right. Or both. Number six. Akshay Kumar?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've seen that person. I believe it's a man. $48.5 million. That's pretty good. Number five. Now, didn't know that he was doing that much these days. Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$54 million.
He's in a lot of those Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Have they been making some of those and having them come out recently?
Up to like 12, I think.
Wow. Boy, has he made a ton on those things. Number four, Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck, yeah. He's been doing stuff. He made $55 million so far. Number three, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
He plays so many roles.
He does,
so
doesn't
good.
He?
Yeah.
In fact, I think I've seen him, if I'm not mistaken, on some of these public service announcements for different things. He's very big about that. Well, he's worth or earned $58 million.
And he's got his hamburger chain. Him and his brothers.
Oh, yeah. Is that
Wahlberg's.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is just, I guess, from
for
his
acting,
earnings
yeah.
for acting. Number two, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, I know him. Ryan Reynolds, he's done a lot. $71.5 million. Mm. He kind of pulls away from the others. $71.5 million. So there you go. Those are the top nine, Ed. Now we're at number one. Let me tell you that this one is also pulled away from the others. I mean, it's not that close.
I'm thinking it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he's probably well over $100 million.
Okay, he's giving us both the name and the amount. Here we go. Bingo, you were right. It is Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. $87.5 million.
Oh,
it's not $100 million, but I'll tell you what.
Slacker.
It is not chump change. Now, has he made a movie for recently, or is this just he's collecting royalties on movies, or what?
No, he's in a lot of movies. He is. I mean, leading roles, whatever. You know, he just bought the defunct XFL for $15 million.
I was going to say, was he a wrestler or a football player?
He started out as a football player at the University of Miami, a defensive end, and he played for a cup of coffee in the NFL, and then that was it. I think he lasted maybe 2 years, if that.
He was not a wrestler, though.
He was part of the WWF or whatever it is.
He was a wrestler.
Yeah. Gotcha. And a promoter.
Real quickly, we don't have time for it. I was going to ask you about the Lightning. They're in a Columbus Blue Jackets.
It's 1-1, you know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
The Rays are just pounding along.
You're being funny, aren't
you? Now, 17-8 yesterday. Wow.
They won.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Who'd they beat?
They swept the Red Sox.
That's great.
They took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees and 4 out of 4.
I better start following them.
Yeah, they're doing
wonderful.
Well. They've turned it around. They're leading the league in home runs.
Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you for listening, by the way. Freedom Works. We'll be back on Monday. Drive and be safe.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.